Well, first this morning, according to today's Irish Times, former Justice Minister Alan Shatter wrote a letter to Ciarán Comhairle, Sean Barrett, asking that a debate on the motion on the setting up of an inquiry into allegations of malpractice at the Cavan Monaghan Division of the Gardaí should not go ahead. The former minister also requested that he should be excluded from any Dáil inquiry into the matter. This week, opposition TDs staged a walkout in a row over how the Ciarán Comhairle handled the matter. Well, just a few moments ago, before going on air, I spoke to the Ciarán Comhairle, who's at a Dublin airport, and I asked him what his involvement was.
Well, I mean, there's a total misunderstanding here. My only involvement in all of this was to deal with the actual debate on the terms of reference. Now, I was advised by my officials and the legal people inside in Leinster House that there was a danger in if having a debate on the terms of reference, if there was overt remarks passed or if, you know, things were said, that because Alan Shatter has already a case pending in the courts, which is due to be heard on the 12th of April, I understand, in the High Court, that he could seek an injunction. And the choice that was left to me was, it's not my business what's in the terms of reference. That's a matter for the government. My only involvement was whether, understanding orders, I would allow for the motion to be put to the House without debate so that the hearing investigation can go ahead immediately, or take a chance and have a debate on the terms of reference, and something would happen, and we could end up in the court.
Okay, but Sean
Barrett, Miriam, if you don't mind, I just want to explain this, because I've been misrepresented. So I took the decision, based on the advice given to me, that the best thing to do would be to have the motion put to the House without debate, so that the Gearing investigation could be set up immediately without any fear. And that's what's happened. And the motion was put and was passed.
Okay, now, let me come back in there for one moment,
yeah,
Sean Barrett.
Sure, yeah.
You know and I know that not having a debate on a motion is unusual. And however you dress it up, the fact that a personal letter from from Alan Shatter to you earlier this week argued that the motion would be an actual attempt by the Dáil to encroach on the function of the courts. Whatever Alan Shatter is saying, at the end of the day, it looked like you got a personal letter and you bowed
to his
wishes.
No, that's not a personal. I got no personal letter. The letters I received was addressed to the Ciarán Comhairle. Alan Shatter wrote back in November about this matter, and I didn't reply because I had no terms of reference. I've been dragged into this because this is a governmental matter, not for me as Ciarán Comhairle. My only involvement is procedural. And I have a responsibility to the people of this country that the investigation which was being set up should go ahead, and it's after that, it's over to the persons carrying out the investigation and witnesses to deal with and produce a report.
But the letter...
Ciarán
Comhairle, let me come back in for one moment. Let me come back in for a moment.
There's an implication that I was influenced by some letter. I was not influenced by any letter.
But at the end of the day, Ciarán Comhairle, the letter on behalf of Alan Shatter from Brian Gallagher representing him suggested that the debate and the motion should not go ahead for legal reasons.
Yeah, but they didn't want any debate because they didn't want his name included in the terms of reference. That was the issue that they had.
But it looks like you bowed to pressure from them.
No, I certainly did not bow to pressure from anybody. And that's where the unfairness is coming in. They wanted Alan Shatter's name deleted from the terms of reference. That was a matter for the government, not for me. The argument about a debate was simply about the terms of reference and the whether the Dáil should proceed with the investigation. That was it. And I took, in the interest of the public and the interest of Parliament, I decided that on the advice I was given, that the best thing to do was to allow the motion to be put to the chamber without debate, because it was only a technical debate on the actual terms of reference, so that the matter could proceed. Now, that's all my involvement was. Letters to me are irrelevant.
But did you consider, Sean, sorry, did you consider maybe telling the Dáil about the letter?
I get letters every day of the week. No, hold a second. This was not a personal letter to me. It was addressed to the Count Corla. Not a personal letter to Sean Barrett. It was a letter to the Count Corla.
But the Irish Times says...
From a firm of solicitors asking me to do something that I had no involvement in.
Okay, but Sean, the Irish Times... Can I just say, the Irish Times is reporting today in a personal letter to you early this
week.
Irish
Times
Mr. Shatter argued that the motion would be an actual attempt by the Dáil to encroach on the function of the courts. Is that correct or incorrect?
The Irish Times have reported it correctly. The Irish Times, they were briefed by the officials inside in Leinster House yesterday to clear up this matter. Because to be honest with you, it's grossly unfair and misleading to the public what's going on in the newspapers about this matter. Attempts have been made to suggest that I was influenced in some way in the performance of my duty. That is totally and utterly untrue.
No, and I hear you, but Sean Barrett, can you see how it would look wrong?
No, I'm not interested in how it looks. I'm interested in the facts. I'm interested in going on your radio program to tell the public that I took a decision in the interest of them, the public, so that an investigation can proceed immediately without hauling the possibility of the House of the Oireachtas being hauled up to the High Court and this matter being delayed and thousands of euros being spent on legal fees. Now, that is the simple truth. Whether people want to believe that or not, I can't do any more about it. But I just want to let the people know what the true position, as far as I am concerned,
Why
I took the decision.
But when you have people like Alan Kelly, the Deputy Labour Leader, who was part of the project, just let me just say, but he criticised what happened as a constitutional crisis.
But he said he didn't know the facts. And I made it clear to the Taoiseach yesterday that I objected to that remark. He didn't know the facts. And people are speaking without actually addressing the facts. And what I'm doing coming on this radio programme is to address the facts and assure the people that I was acting in their interest. And that's the net question. Letters to me or anybody else, I am not influenced by letters. I take decisions in accordance with the standing orders of Leinster House. And standing order 57.3 allows for what I did yesterday. Or the other day, and I stand over that in the interest of the public.
But John, in the background, when you knew, I suppose, that personal letter was there, would you have been better laying it open before the Dáil that this is what you received?
I did not receive a personal letter. That is incorrect in the Irish Times.
So you received a letter from Brian Gallagher, was it, on behalf of Alan Shatter?
I received a letter from a firm of solicitors addressed to the Count Corla of Dáil Éireann. Not a personal letter from Alan Shatter.
Okay, so...
And I really object to the manner in which this has been reported, which is obviously designed to put me in a bad light and affect the confidence in my independence as Count Corla. And that's what I'm objecting to. I'm well able to look after myself, but I don't want you or the public to believe that I, in some way, took a decision as Count Corla to satisfy some individual. I did not.
Do you get a sense, Sean Barrett, that maybe the opposition, both Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil, are in some way out to undermine you, to get you?
Of course they are. Of course they are. It's perfectly obvious. Because this is no business of playing politics. This is a unique situation where a deputy who was Minister for Justice has a case pending in the High Court and who has already, through his solicitors, sought from me and from the government to have his name deleted from the terms of reference. I made it known that I had nothing to do with the terms of reference as Count Corla. I just apply what's before us. That's a matter for the government. So on that one, I had nothing to do with it. Whether I didn't prevent, by the way, a debate as such. It was only the terms of reference listing out under what conditions this investigation would take place.
Okay, and I accept...
When the report is produced, there'll be the full debate in the Dáil.
Final question. I respect and appreciate the fact that you've taken this call from the airport. Are you upset or almost offended by the criticisms of you? And there have been previous criticisms in the past few months and weeks.
Well, there's an attempt at times for people to use my office, whether it's personal or whatever. But, I'm 30-odd years since I was elected to the Dáil. I've never seen a county caller being sort of dragged into these sort of things before. People have to assume that I have some integrity and that I'm going to perform my role independently and honestly. And that's what I want to assure the public, that as long as I'm there, I will carry out my duties independently and responsibly, and I will not be influenced by anything or anybody.
Okay, Sean Barrett, thank you very much for taking our call today, and safe journey. Okay, that was the County Caller speaking to me just a few moments ago. I'm now joined from Cork by the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. Micheál Martin, you've been listening to that interview with Sean Barrett. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm very disappointed with the tone and tenor and indeed the content of what the County Caller has just said. And I'll deal with some of that, if I may, just in a moment. But what I want to say here is the one fact that happened this week was that the Dáil was silenced on an issue of fundamental importance to the administration of justice, i.e. the issues in the Cavan Monaghan area in terms of policing, a whole range of issues which were inquired into by Mr. Gearden, and on Mr. Gearden's recommendations, the establishment of a commission of investigation. The terms of reference were not technical. That's misleading by the County Caller to say that. They go to the very heart of the issues that were inquired into by Mr. Gearden and are the rationale for the establishment of the inquiry.
He said it was just the terms of reference, though, Micheál Martin.
Yeah, he's wrong, absolutely wrong on that. And it's without precedent what happened. And what I want to say in the first instance, it's appalling that a Dáil deputy, namely Mr. Shatter, would go to such lengths to silence the Dáil.
Well, that's your words that he silenced the Dáil. I mean, the County Caller, I just say, in a previous statement also said it was a merely fair, impartial and objective manner in which he made the decision, and he was merely being cautious.
If I could just make a few key points first, and I'll come back to those points. I think it's reprehensible that a Dáil deputy would initiate a process designed to prevent the Dáil from debating issues of fundamental importance. That goes against the heart of parliamentary democracy, and Deputy Alan Shatter should not have done that. Secondly, when that correspondence went to the County Caller and when it went to the Taoiseach, other members of the Dáil should have been made aware of it, and there should have been proper presentation of the issues and full transparency in relation to the correspondence between Deputy Shatter and the County Caller and indeed the Taoiseach. Thirdly, this week I asked the Taoiseach to hold back and not to push the motion through for a further week so we could deliberate on what is an issue of very important, of fundamental importance to the Dáil.
Okay.
That's how the Dáil does its business. Because the County Caller has, from what I can see, without any precedent, because remember, we've established inquiry after inquiry over the last number of decades.
Let me come back in there, Micheál Martin.
Sorry.
To be fair to Sean Barrett, he just said in his interview, it was only the terms of reference that weren't debated. And at the end of the day, it wasn't a personal letter. It was a legal letter on behalf of Alan Shatter. And I suppose he had to take the safest option from a legal point of view.
First of all, I never made any allegations or assertions about personal or otherwise. I mean, just go back over the weekend and look at how I've performed in the Dáil. And even if the County Caller had listened to a debate I had earlier in a different news station earlier this morning, I made it very clear I wasn't playing any man. I was actually fundamentally concerned about the issue. Because the standing order he used was brought in for the express purpose of preventing the Dáil from being silenced by people issuing writs and people going to the courts. Because the Parliament is the voice of the people in a democracy. And we have to be extremely cautious and careful before we take steps, as the County Caller did this week, to invoke a standing order to silence the Dáil on issues of fundamental importance.
So let me just be clear here.
So it's the issue that drove my intervention in the Dáil this week.
Just let me clear. Yeah. What are you accusing Sean Barrett of? Are you saying that because he received a letter from Alan Shatter, he decided that this would not be debated? Is that what you are saying?
My fundamental assertion is the County Caller got it wrong in terms of the decision he took to suppress and say there could be no debate in the Dáil on the establishment of a commission of inquiry.
So should he resign? What are you looking for?
It was unprecedented. I'm looking for, first of all, a proper engagement with the opposition and the government deputies, and to make absolutely sure that this is reversed in terms of the precedent that has been set. Because what now, the scenario now unfolding is that in the future, writs can be issued and the Dáil can be prevented from discussing issues pertaining to inquiries or other matters. So, for example, how was the banking inquiry established? When all and sundry know that court cases are taking place, of a, you know, in terms of criminal dimensions to those court cases and so on. And yet there was no restraint or restriction on Dáil members in terms of debating the terms of references of that inquiry. Likewise, when I established a number of inquiries in my own time as a minister, such as the inquiry into industrial schools, Fearn's inquiry in terms of abuse in the church, again, there was no restrictions on debate in the Dáil. Although, of course, court cases were pending on matters related
to
those
Martin,
issues.
For the Ceann Comhairle, he has to work with the facts before him, the legal letters before him. He would say he reached it in a fair, impartial and objective manner, having regard to all the facts. I mean, he believes the opposition are out to get him. Are you?
Well, that's now brought a new dimension to this story and this issue. And I want him to withdraw that assertion. And he said that, of course, they are in response to your question. I think he should reflect on that. He should look at the contribution I made in the Dáil. I think it is without question a substance of issue that the Dáil cannot debate an issue as important as this. I think any parliamentarian must, standing back, reflect on that reality. It's a very serious development for how the Dáil operates into the future. And any Dáil deputy is entitled to question that. And that Ceann Comhairle seems to suggest that we are not, and seems to suggest that the motivation is a personal one and not one on the substantive issue. I think he needs to withdraw that remark.
Okay.
And I think he should have taken, you know, instead of rushing in and making comments that in my view, are not well-founded, he would have been better to engage with the deputies. He wasn't there this week for reasons beyond his control, I accept that. So there was no explanation or no discussion in advance.
So are you considering a vote, Micheál Martin, of no confidence in the Ceann Comhairle? Just to say, the Ceann Comhairle obviously is required to examine, as it says, in a fair and impartial manner, all bills, parliamentary questions and motions to ensure that they comply with standing orders. Would you consider a vote of no confidence in Sean Barrett?
Well, you see, you've moved this on and into this particular issue of confidence and no confidence in the Ceann Comhairle. That is not where this issue started last week.
But if you question his motives and his behaviour...
No, sorry, I questioned the decision and the judgment in relation to invoking that particular standing order. And the issue that arises from it is so substantive that it merits discussion and questioning. We are parliamentarians and people shouldn't be getting on high horses and taking umbrage at parliamentarians who are raising very fundamental questions. And the Ceann Comhairle has to accept that. And people can raise issues of fundamental concern in a way that is not malicious or in a way that's not vindictive in a personal sense, but objectively looking at it, has weight and has substance and credibility in terms of the issue itself, i.e. Dáil deputies who are elected by the people should not be silenced.
Remember
what this was all about. This was about the silencing of whistleblowers for well over 15 months to 2 years. And now you're saying the Dáil deputies can't debate it?
So what do you want to happen now? What are you seeking now?
Well, we'll be communicating with the Ceann Comhairle in terms of what we want to happen in terms of, first of all, the decision that was taken last week. And we want an engagement with him in relation to that. And we are writing to him formally, outlining our strong objections to what happened last week. And we're going to engage with him. And this cannot be allowed stand as a precedent.
Okay, final question about Aer Lingus. I had the minister in the primetime studio last night reassuring people that connectivity and possible unemployment, they're not issues, and that the decision will be taken for the right reasons, not to do with political considerations in relation to the sale of Aer Lingus.
I don't understand what he means by that, because the fundamental issue is one of connectivity. And that is in relation to the industrial performance of the country in terms of exports, in terms of our SMEs, in terms of foreign direct investment, in terms of tourism, and in terms of Irish people travelling to and fro. So the Heathrow slots are fundamentally strategic to the country. And the protection of the Heathrow slots and that connectivity is essential. In our view, the rationale arising from that strategic consideration is not to sell the 25% stake that the country has in Aer Lingus. Secondly, the employment issue is a very important one, and it's the minister cannot give guarantees if he goes ahead with this that employment will be protected. We know from earlier mergers involving this group that very substantial unemployment happened. And thirdly, there will be a regional impact. There is no point in denying that in terms of the impact in the regions, in the West and indeed in the South, in Cork and elsewhere, in terms of foreign direct investment and in terms of the government's and our commitment as a political party to balanced development in the country and regional development in particular. So there are three core issues.
On the question of jobs, Porico Cagey, the founder of Air Aran, was on Primetime last night saying the opposite can sometimes happen. Jobs can increase. But on the issue of the slots, I mean, we all know Aer Lingus already rented out one of their slots to another airline. And then there was the row over they gave one of the slots from Shannon to the Belfast-Dublin route. So the issue of the slots is really much ado about nothing.
I know, come on. I mean, Dublin Airport is the Dublin-London route is in the top three busiest routes in the world and number one in Europe. So they're extraordinarily important to the country and connectivity in between Dublin and London and elsewhere, obviously, as a result of that, in terms of the global connectivity for the country. And likewise, you take Shannon, three daily routes to London and at the moment from Aer Lingus and Cork, four. So there, and you have Knock Airport and other as well. So the point is, they're not. It's to discuss one or two slots in the manner that you have just done, I don't think gives in any sense justice to the wider issue of if you lose control, which you will if you sell the stake, then you will lose that strategic connectivity, which is so important for economic development in this country. But and that's the only, and that is the only consideration. It's a strategic shareholding, and that's the purpose of it. And you know, I asked the Taoiseach in the Dáil this week, would he rule out the sale? He hasn't ruled out a sale, and Pascal O'Donoghue hasn't either. And I note that quite a number of others, though, however, are questioning this just as we are. And Timmy Dooley, our spokesman, has been very robust in putting the issues.
But
on
as
the
I
floor
said to Timmy
Dooley
last night, is everyone just worried about their seat in the run up to the next election?
That's too simplistic and superficial, if you don't mind me saying so, Miriam. It's far more important and serious than that. And the problem is, you know, the pension issue was just dealt with very handily and tidily before this offer came in. And that's left a lot of soreness around the place when pensioners had fairly substantial cuts in their pension, both retired and deferred, quite substantial. And that kind of thing makes people cynical more than anything else.
OK, listen, Neil Martin, I appreciate you going to the studio in Cork this morning. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.